Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show.
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
Mark Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Daddy Wampus.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now, here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all okay, wherever it is or wherever, whenever it is you're actually listening to this. This is Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Join us in the chat if you listen to the downloads, morelikeradio.com/live. I go live at Tuesdays at 9 p.m. UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern. A whole bunch of people in the chat tonight. It's usually the overhang from the Old School Wrestling Review with Jay. Another awesome show, as usual. I'll get into the usual pleasantries. I say, if you want to, if I can scroll down the page, if you want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Join the Facebook group. Loads of trailers and stuff going up at the moment. Facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at @MLRGamerRadio. But yeah, I said I've done a bit of everything really this week. I've done my console stuff, I've done my handheld stuff, I've been listening to a whole bunch of new stuff. I haven't really listened to much of the shows on the station this week because, I found out that Limit Break Radio has come back, I've been listening to them non-stop all last week. I'm really, really tempted to pick up Final Fantasy XIV.
when I do, you know, when I eventually get my my PlayStation 4. I wouldn't mind giving it a go. I mean, it does look pretty fun. I mean, I think the monthly subscription is quite cheap anyway, so it's not going to be a problem money-wise. But, I mean, I have watched some videos and sort of looking at bits and pieces. I mean, there's a lot of text appearing on the screen from, like, characters' names. I mean, there's tons of information when you're playing that's, you know, yeah, the chat bars and all this sort of, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't mind giving it a go, you know, at least once. I mean, I did 11 for about a month or so and played that for a bit. That was fun. But, I mean, hopefully this, I mean, I think it's like 1.4 million people playing. I think it's like 1.4, 1.8, something like that, playing Final Fantasy 14 right now, which is great. You know, at least it's got a decent community for it. Whereas when I did try and start playing 11, it was very much dead. But, you know, I mean, now it's even more dead. But yeah, I listen to Limit Break Radio a lot. Last week I did tell you, I picked up Pokemon Link Battle or Pokemon Trozei. Very, very addictive. I've been playing that sort of non-stop on my travels to and from work and sometime at home. I've opened up more stages. I mean, I opened up stage 11, which is this daily one, and that sort of changes daily which Pokemon you can get. I mean, you can get like I think a dozen in each sort of zone. That, you know, in each stage, and then that changes daily. And I've opened up like two stages, so I've got like, you know, several different. I mean, because, you know, there's 718 Pokemon to get, and the need to basically make sure you can catch them all, which I have been trying to do. And it's very tricky because, I mean, I say I'm having lots of fun with it and say it's very addictive, but I mean, there are sort of secret Pokemon hidden for each stage, and you need to basically get, I think, combos. When you get to a combo screen, you need to get combos of 15, and I'm having trouble sometimes getting 8 and 10. I mean, you know, several times I've gotten 14 and literally just missed out on getting the 15th one by a second, and it's very addictive, and I just keep wanting to do more and more. And, you know, it seems like sometimes I'll do bad and sometimes I'll do good. I mean, I think I've captured about 20% of the Pokemon that's available in the game, so I'm doing okay. I mean, I unlocked, I think, some electric stage, and I got a Pikachu and Pichu and a bunch of electric Pokemon, which was great because it helps me out with the some of the water levels, trying to catch some of the water Pokemon. But yeah, I mean, that's taking up a lot of my time. But it's just playing this. I mean, it's very, you know, handheld, arcadey, puzzly sort of stuff. But it does actually make me want a new Pokemon pinball game. Whereas, you know, putting like five or six different tables. Kinesi in the chat says, "Do you start talk about Pokemon?" But yeah, I usually do just to get it out of the way because it takes up not a big amount of time, but it's just like stuff I like to talk about. So I thought, get it out of the way first before I talk about all the big important stuff. But yeah, I say, you know, played that. I'm working on my team for VGC, got a new idea, just playing around with stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much all my Pokemon stuff. But what do you call it? I did pick up Final Fantasy X last week, and I have been playing a lot of that. It's really, really fun, and I'm glad I've got it. I've done some sort of watching on YouTube of when it originally came out, how the graphics are compared to how they are now. A lot better now, obviously, because it's HD, a remastered version. The menus are much better that I've been looking at, and it seems a lot easier to navigate than in previous games. I think I'm about over halfway through the story. I think I've got to the fifth temple and got the faith for the Aeon from that. But I say, literally, I mean, I have been sort of trying to, sorry, just reading stuff in the chat. But yeah, I mean, I have sort of got, I think I'm nearly three quarters of the way through the game. I'm sort of trying to not rush through it, but I'm sort of trying to do stuff quick on certain points so I can access certain stuff. I mean, it's like, I want to play more Blitzball, but chance the team you get when you first start is crap. And I'm trying to go through and find the better players, which I have. I've got, I think, Zebronzo, this, you know, big sort of tiger bloke and a couple of Albed and this other guy, and you know, some decent players that I've been literally sort of scanning across the internet trying to find people who have made lists of good teams and good players. So I've tried to find the ones that I've got, and I played a match this morning. I won 2-0, and I was like, yep, this is a good team. I just need to sort of keep playing around with them, you know, getting their levels up, making them better. And then there's a couple more. I need to replace the goalkeeper, who I know where I can get this guy, but it's just sort of just trying to work on it. It's a bit tricky, but yeah, I'm having a lot of fun playing Blitzball. It's a great sport. I mean, I used to really understand like the stats and the numbers. I don't know. I've sort of lost it since the, you know, 12, 13 years since I last played this, but it's sort of gone out of my head on how to work out the stats and calculations and stuff. But you know, that's not much of a problem. It's all going pretty well, to be honest. But yeah, I am progressing through the story quite quickly. I mean, there's times. I mean, like where I am now, I sort of it's after the Tidus and Yuna kiss scene. I'm sort of going through the calm lands. I'm just about to fight a boss. But I'm like, I want to sort of hold back a bit, fight a lot more fiends, and basically try and complete more of the sphere grids, which is going well. But I just need to sort of just stay in one area, just fight until you know, I open up more spheres and make it easier for you know, my characters to get stronger and stronger through, you know, collecting spheres. But yeah, I say, what else have I? Yeah, the ultimate weapons. I was looking at stuff because I'm like, there's like certain spheres that I need because there's like ones that block off certain areas, so like level 1 spheres, level 2, level 3, and up to level 4. And I was looking up like how to get these items, and I was also looking up the ultimate weapons, which is basically, you know, which I don't think, like, you know, when I first played this the first time, I never really got that far with it. I mean, I think I got fully unlocked one or two, because basically what happens is you get this celestial mirror and you use it to, upgrade this other, this, you know, you find the item originally, but then you need to do sort of tasks, and then it lets you upgrade upgrade the weapon to fully unlock its true potential. And it's like looking up how to do some of this stuff. I mean, one of them, I think for Worker, you need to sort of win so many Blitzball games, which trying to get myself the team ready now so that when I can get, you know, actually get the weapon and start unlocking all these upgrades and stuff, I'm actually, you know, ready. But I mean, I looked up one for Lulu, the Black Mage, and she needs to upgrade her item. You need to sort of avoid lightning in the, I think it's the Thunder Planes, at least 200 times in a row. And I tried to do it once, and it just wasn't working. And I was like, some of them I'm going to have like the fully upgraded weapons. I mean, I'm trying to do sort of my best through playing this, like fully upgrade all the sphere grid so everyone has maxed out stats. But yeah, some of this stuff is really, really tricky. But I mean, I am having so much fun with it. I mean, I just want to sort of sit down and play it all day. And, you know, I mean, because, you know, there's still so much to do. I mean, I've unlocked about half the sphere grids for each character. I just want to, you know, keep fighting. You know, just keep get further and further and further into it. But yeah, I say it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, it's great to sort of, I mean, some of the stuff, it's one of those things, it's because it has been so long since I played this game, it's some of the stuff is new. It's like, I remember that scene, like, I mean, I've got past the bit where you go back to the Albed hideout, sort of, and it gets blown up. I remember that, and there's some bits afterwards that I don't remember that happened, and like the trial, and some bits and pieces. I mean, I remember the, watching, was it the wedding between Yuna and Seymour? I remember that. But yeah, it's, you know, some of it is like, you know, playing it brand new, having not played it so long. It's sort of all the other bits and pieces sort of gone from your memory. But yeah, I say it's a great game. I'm having so much fun with it. I mean, there's, you know, I'm sort of tempted to get stuff. I mean, because I haven't got really a topic for this week, but it's more of a question rather. Because I mean, actually, I've got so much like news articles that I actually want to get through and talk to you about. But yeah, I mean, I am tempted to pick up, Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes. And I think Titanfall is out on the 360, I think, this week, which I'm tempted to buy as well. But I say, you know, I'm not. Money's okay at the moment for me, but I mean, I've got my train ticket to pay for to go to Manchester, which is in about 6 weeks, which I'm really looking forward to going. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Nationals to see all my friends from Pokemania and I think Kelly from Looker Bureau and Streisand Radio. He's going to be there, which is going to be a laugh. But yeah, I am looking forward to, you know, to going and seeing how well I do. And, you know, it's going to be good. Sort of meet new people, you know, hand out a ton of business cards, get more listeners for the show and the station. But yeah, it's going to be great. But, you know, I do, there's like new games I want to pick up. I mean, I got my copy of Batman Arkham Origins back from my mate. So basically, when we get the DLC for that, I want to pick that up. You know, I'm done with Thief. So once my mate's borrowing that now, once he's finished that, I can sell that. And, you know, I mean, there's games that I want, but I mean, Titanfall, I think, is like full price at the moment. I'm going to wait till it goes down a bit cheaper. I mean, I want to play it because I actually do want to do like a sort of like a future. I think I've already done one of this, like the future of multiplayer. But now with Titanfall and people have experienced it, and, you know, I want to experience it myself so I can sort of ponder some thoughts and some questions. It's like, well, you know, we have like mech combat in previous games. How does this game differ with what it has, like vehicles, that sort of stuff? Whereas, I mean, you know, a game like was it Homefront? I think that was the one. It was the one that was the game that was what do you call it? That was done by written by the guy who did who wrote Red Dawn. He wrote that the story for that. You know, the game was shit, but the multiplayer was really fun. But yeah, there's stuff like that. You know, I sort of want to wonder how, because people, I've heard, I mean, I've said it as well, and people have, other, I've heard other people saying that this is the future of multiplayer, you know, what you can do, that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, compared to like stuff like Destiny, which has the, like a group boss that everyone can take, and you have that with like MMOs and stuff like that. You know, I just want to sort of sit down and think about it and talk about it and, you know, run some ideas, to the listeners and see what they think, you know, want their input. But yeah, so I think that's pretty much all I've been playing this week. I mean, I played bits and pieces here and there, the usual Pokemon Troze, some Final Fantasy, you know, bits and pieces. I mean, I've been watching tons of videos of the Ultimate Sidemen, on YouTube, like Trials and Grand Theft Auto. And, you know, it's just, it does excite me for, I mean, you know, Xbox One is here. I've said this before, PlayStation 4 is here. I'm looking forward to seeing what we get with, you know, the future of the Grand Theft Auto. I mean, Trials Fusions looks really, really good. I'm definitely going to pick that up when I get my PlayStation 4. You know, there's so many decent games coming out and, you know, new games that we don't know about. I mean, E3's, what, 2 months away in June? There's, you know, the future is looking good for gaming. You know, it gets better and better every couple of months. We get new trailers and, you know, what's happening with Assassin's Creed looks pretty good, and that was 1884, and, you know, tons of stuff. It's just really, really exciting at the moment. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting some new games. I mean, I've sold a whole bunch. I'm sort of down to the last few things, but, you know, Watch Dogs, I can't wait to play that. It's going to be really, really good. But, yeah, so not much of a topic this week. It was more of a thought, to be honest. Because I've talked about like movies made from games, but I'm thinking about games that have come from movies, like, you know, sort of stuff that's been inspired by, you play a game and there's a big stunt scene, like there's big cut scenes of over the top explosions and, you know, all stuff that you get in like a big sort of Hollywood blockbuster. And I think about stuff like, I mean, I think, you know, because I think about Metal Gear Solid, as what I was saying. And, you know, Hideo Kojima, he's come out and said, he takes a lot of inspiration from movies, you know, Escape from New York with, you know, Snake Plissken, Snake with, you know, if you've played Metal Gear Solid 2, which one's that? Sons of Liberty, yeah, and basically, you know, you have Solid Snake in it, but he calls himself Plissken. There's so many nods to movies in his games and the way he does stuff, the way he does cutscenes, and she wants the fact that, you know, a lot of his cutscenes are Oh, Jay's asking me a question. He says, I'd love to know what some of your favourite video game intros. I was actually thinking about this today. I thought Mark do this a question for the show. Kinesis and chat saying Borderlands 2 intro was epic. The first one was still pretty good. I mean, Borderlands has pretty good intros. Batman Arkham Origins, that intro is really, really good. What else? I think, you know, the Final Fantasy ones, I've got to say them. I think 7 was pretty good. You know, that intro, you know, you see Aeris and, you know, the train rolling into Midgar. You know, Final Fantasy ones have pretty decent ones. Sorry, I thought I heard some noise. Just me talking. But no, I think, just think of other stuff. I mean, I say Metal Gear Solid 2, you know, shit. Sons of Liberty, when you start off and the snake's running across the bridge in the pouring down over the, I think it's the Washington, what the hell is it, the Washington State Bridge? I don't know. I've been to New York once. It was a smelly shithole. But yeah, it's like stuff like that was good. I'm just trying to think of other stuff. I think that's about it, really. To be honest, I mean, there's been tons of decent ones, but it's like, you know. Yeah, I think probably, like, you know, the Borderlands stuff was pretty epic, and it, you know, I mean, as I say, lots of people I know have played Borderlands, and it, the intros for them really got them pumped and ready to play the game. You know, you get up the, you know, with the songs as well. With God, I had the songs on my iPod somewhere, but no, I mean, stuff like that. You know, anything really, as long as it helps develop how the world is set. I think about, you know, I say with Final Fantasy VII, it's like, you know, you're introduced into some of the characters and then you're introduced into the main city where you spend like a good portion of the first part of the game, like the first couple of hours. And then say like, any cool stuff from N64 or SNES era? Well, say, trust me, I never had a SNES. I mean, the first thing I had was a Game Gear, and then it went up to Mega Drive. I think it was N64. I mean, GoldenEye was pretty good on the N64, but I mean, because the whole, you know, it was pretty much like the movie. Just N64. I mean, I didn't really have that many games on the N64. Mario. I think I had Mario Kart. But yeah, with the N64, it wasn't really like there was many games that were basically big drawn out stories. It's just, you know, it was basically sort of arcadey style, you know, collectible games. I'm thinking like Banjo Kazooie, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, Super Mario, you know, Mario N64. What the fuck was the Mario game with the castle and every damn thing? That was pretty good. I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to wreck my brains now, trying to think of. I think Night Trap was that the one. Oh, I think I played something else. Yeah, tons of things. I'm trying to remember half the stuff I played on the N64. Shadows of the Empire was. I think they had a pretty good intro. You know, the Star Wars games are usually pretty good. And Kinesis in chat says, I'm playing the shit out of Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. See, I had that on my, what the hell was it? We're doing old school gaming now. I had that on my Game Boy. Shinobi, I had Shinobi as well. I mean, there's tons of decent stuff. You know, that's the same. I mean, I was at work today and I found a whole bunch of sort of Mega Drive Genesis games. And just looking at all this stuff, it was, you know, Streets of Rage, I think it was a copy of Street Fighter, and I found a copy of Micro Machines 2, and I was like, these are all great games. I mean, there was one cartridge that had, I think it had like Super Hang-On, Streets of Rage, all the, you know, Columns, I think Revenge of Shinobi, you know, all the classic ones, you know. Yeah, Jay brings up, I think, intros as well. He brings up God of War. I never played any of the God of War games. I never did. I sort of literally, I mean, I think when that started to come out on the PlayStation 2, I think I was already onto the Xbox One and Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. Other suggestions going here: Mortal Kombat, Skyrim, Morrowind. Morrowind, not the actual intro sequence, like intro movie, because I don't think there really was one, because it was basically just sort of like a montage of the whole world. But I mean, I love the intro to Morrowind. That's my favourite thing, because sort of that you get off the boat and you go and see the guy, and I just spent like hours just sort of looking at the water, how real that looked. You know, HW in the chat brings up Dr. Robotnik's Bean Machine. Yeah, so many great games that for the Mega Drive. It's like it was a classic system. You know, this was the classic golden age of Sega. You know, it's just I don't know. HW brings up Ultimate Online, the original 1997 intro. I actually looked up Ultimate Online, what the graphics, because literally I've heard of this game for years. I'd never actually sort of bothered looking it up. And, you know, the graphics are dated as hell, but I mean, it looked like a lot of fun, because I was wanting to look out how Lord British died and stuff like this. You know, bits and pieces I've been hearing from other shows and stuff I listen to and people I talk to. Yeah, I mean, some of the wrestling games are, you know, as it's, you know, Jay and all that. Talk about the wrestling games and intros. There were some really good wrestling games back in the day. I mean, Charles, I haven't picked up a decent wrestling game since, in about 5 years, I think. To be honest, whatever the SmackDown game was like 5 years ago, I think I picked that up. I think the last wrestling game I had was when CM Punk was, I think, like his first appearance on the roster for the one of the wrestling games. I think that's like how long ago it was. So I've sort of picked one up. They just talk about the wrestling, the Nitro, and yeah, there's so many great games, and I'd love to sort of, if I'm still here in 10 years, you look back on what we got now and have the same enthusiasm, but I'm not sure. I'll go back to what I was saying. But yeah, I mean, I think about games that have been inspired from movies. I think, Dead Space, Event Horizon, Uncharted, even though it was a male skin of Tomb Raider, but Indiana Jones, sort of modern Indiana Jones. But then, my whole thing was like the trailers. I think the main trailers that we are getting from stuff like Call of Duty, where the actual gameplay trailer is not the one with Robert Downey Jr. sitting in a plane. It does make me wonder and worry about... HW missed it last week when I was talking about RPGs. I mean, the whole topic last week was on RPGs, and I brung up Shining Force and... what the hell was the other one Mersh was on about? Shit, I can't remember. Yeah, I say Final Fantasy VI had a good intro. I mean, I'm so pissed off now because during the break I had to sort of restart my PlayStation 3, so I had to create a new wipe the hardware and start a new new name. And I bought Final Fantasies 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and Metal Gear Solid. I've lost like the whole lot. So basically, I've got to buy them again if I want to play them again. But yeah, I mean, I did start playing Final Fantasy VI because what I've been hearing is the best one. But yeah, I sort of wanted to get into that. I think looks like from what in chat, it's trying to get me off talk about the wrestling games. So the SmackDown, Kinesi saying that SmackDown 2 has still had the best career mode, whereas Universe mode on WWE 2K14 is awful. Yeah, it's one of those things. Because they get these games come out like every year, it's hard to balance. I mean, I think it's hard for the developers to actually balance what's good, but how to keep it fresh, but being a yearly title. That's the thing. I was going to pick up. I think it was the wrestling game, the SmackDown from I think it was 2000. 13, the one that was the sort of Attitude era focused one, not the recent one, but the one before it. Yeah, I was going to pick that up, but I just sort of didn't get around to it, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I talk about, you know, back to the movie thing. It's like, you know, quick time events. I mean, the whole, my worry is slightly worry about quick time events is that it is basically push X, push A, push square, you know, push these buttons to do these actual things in the games, where it's not, because it is so scripted and it's so, what's the word? I'm trying to grab your attention that, you want to be doing this stuff, not actually just push a button because actually, you're watching what's going on the screen, but you're watching for the button press. And I have done that several times with, I think about Shenmue 2, there was a bit when you're going through this, I think, sort of collapsing building near the end. And it's basically you're trying to fight this boss and get through this building, and you've got to press the buttons at the right time, and it's a bit tricky. But yeah, I mean, what I would like is like, with the big, I mean, I think it was the end of Halo, I think it was Halo 3, was it? Yeah, I think at the end of, yeah, the end of Halo 3, basically where you're in the Warthog and you're literally trying to get back to the ship, and you've got the ground crumbling beneath you. I mean, that was, I think that was one of the, that was one of the best, you know, you could say sort of movie-esque scenes in a game, I think. I mean, you know, as I say, I'm not the biggest Halo fan. I'm not really a fan of the series, to be honest. But I mean, I did actually like that, you know, what you could do at that moment with, you know, what they were going to give you. It's like, you know, you're literally, I mean, because that's the thing. That's what I like when it comes to gaming. It's like, you know, I want to be able to do this sort of stuff. I mean, I think back to the movie Small Soldiers, and it's like, you know, you've got, what the hell's his name? Shit. Yeah, he was in Ice Age. Dennis Leary, there we go. And he's saying about, you know, the toy punches its way out of the box. It's like, we want to do what we can see, you know, in the movies. And, you know, say the end of Halo 3, the whole Warthog escape, that would be something that you'd see in the movies, the big car chase, that sort of stuff. I mean, like, Charles, I was just thinking about Grand Theft Auto now. It's like, that sort of happens in Grand Theft Auto. I mean, we do get to have those sort of movie-style chases and, the kind of action scenes that we do get in Grand Theft Auto. But, I mean, with this recent one we have, but I think back to stuff like Grand Theft Auto 4, the scenes were so scripted. I remember this one chase that pissed me off. You had to sort of get this girl had been kidnapped by these bikers, so you had to chase after them on your bike. But the thing is, like, I was shooting these people. I got right close and I was shooting them, and that literally, you know, if they were, they should have fallen off and died. But no, it's literally you have to chase them because that's how it's all scripted. Kinesis brings up the Saboteur. Yeah, I've heard that's a really good game. I never got around to playing it. The Saboteur, I think he plays this Irish guy, and it's set in France during the German occupation during, you know, World War II. I've heard so much good stuff about that game. I never got around to it. I mean, I'll have to have a look for it later, see if it's must be pretty cheap by now, since it came out a couple of years ago. I think about, you know, that sort of bike chase in Grand Theft Auto. It's like, yeah, I understand how the whole scene sort of plays out, but it's like, I don't want to, you know, have to wait. I don't want it to be so scripted why I can't sort of, you know, go off the cuff or go off the rules, you know, make my own rules as rather. But, you know, Jay's asked me, says, have I picked up The Wolf Among Us? No, I haven't. I plan to. I'm just not too sure which console I'm going to get it for, because literally, I mean, my 360 is okay. It's not as dying as it used to be. I mean, just, I'm looking at it now, and it needs a wipe down because the dust is gathering. So does my PlayStation by the look of it. But yeah, I do plan on picking it up, because I used to read. I mean, because I stopped reading comics a couple of years ago because, you know, living on my own, money's tight. And I couldn't afford all the comics I used to buy. But yeah, I used to read Fables, you know, back in the day. It was a really, really good series. I mean, I stopped reading Fables because it got a bit, not weird, but it's like, yeah, I sort of lost interest when, you know, people who read Fables would know what I'm talking about. When Little Boy Blue was killed, I was like, yeah, I'm sort of, this was, you shouldn't have done this. He was a great character. You know, that's what pissed me off. But yeah, I do plan on picking The Wolf Among Us up. It's, you know, it's one of those things. I saw it, I was like, wow, this looks pretty good. I mean, I do want to pick up as well. I say, I know it's, I think it's Telltale Games. I do want to pick up the second series of The Walking Dead, but I'm basically going to wait until that's all come out and then play it. Has The Wolf Among Us, has that come out as one? Is that all out in one bit yet? Or is it, still, are we missing a couple of episodes? Or, because I haven't really followed it too much. I haven't really followed it too much because basically I'm sort of waiting for, you know, as you pointed out, there's a sale on. But if it's I'm waiting for something like what we got with The Walking Dead, where the first episode was free. First episode was free, and then the next parts were sort of half price. It's not yet. Just the first three episodes. Yeah, I'll wait till it's out when it's all out, because I don't mind. I hate when it. I don't mind, you know, buying in parts, but I basically, with the way my, I mean, just you lot listen to the way I talk and the way my show goes, it's like I've got fucking ADD like a motherfucker, and it's, you know, trying to focus on something. It takes a lot of brain power from me. But yeah, so basically what I'll do is I'll wait till it's all out as one bit. And then I'll pick it up, mainly due to the fact that I would have lost concentration. I mean, just half the sequels that I play, I'm wondering, well, didn't that happen and that happened? I mean, I think about, I can't remember what the hell's her name, in Dead Space 2, the sort of love interest for Isaac. She loses her eye, her eye gets pulled out, and then in the sequel she has a new eye. I don't think it's like, I think that was explained like as... a clone or something, you know, cloned eye or cyber eye or something like that. I can't remember. But yeah, I do plan on picking it up. I'm just sort of, you know, waiting for it to come out as one bit first. I mean, that's what I did with, what the hell was it? The Walking Dead, which was such a really, really good game. I mean, I don't watch the show because, whatever. But, the game really, it was really, really good. I've lost my train of thought now. Where was I? Oh yeah, games. But yeah, my whole main worry about, game makers being inspired by stuff we've seen in movies for, the big explosions and cutscenes and, you know, all the Hollywood hijinks that we get. I mean, I think about Battlefield 3. I think it was, it must be 3. With the whole building collapsing and the street getting destroyed. I mean, that was pretty cool. I mean, shows Battlefield 3 was a pile of shit. Multiplayer was fun. I didn't really enjoy it as well as I should have, but I'm not a Battlefield fan or anything. But yeah, I mean, the whole building collapsing and the earthquakes and the destruction and trying to sneak your way back through to where you needed to go, that was really, really fun for what it was. I mean, that was just... It was... it was enjoyable, you know. But yeah, I mean, I worry that, you know, they're going to try and make, I mean, it's sort of, I'm sort of positive and negative about this sort of stuff, about making games more movie-esque. But I mean, I do worry that it's going to take stuff, it's going to, you know, having these big action sequences is going to take stuff away from the game, like from the story. It's like, you know, you can have a bit where it's a decent moment between the characters, between the story, and then you sort of balls it up by having like some giant Michael Bay style explosion. And, you know, that's what my main worry is, like, you know, having the story told the way it needs to be, not the way just to grab our attention, because it's just my whole view when it comes to the story. If the story's good enough, you're going to grab our attention. But if it's not, because you've added in some big giant explosion which wasn't really needed, then it's not a fail. But, I mean, you know, there's certain, you know, games of movies that did really well. I mean, the Aliens games. I mean, Aliens Isolation, I'm so looking forward to that game. If anyone played Die Hard Trilogy back in the day, that was such a good game. I think there's like a mix of genres in that game. I mean, Die Hard 1 was a third-person shooter, and then the Die Hard 2 was, I think, was a first-person on-rails shooter, and then the third one was a driving game. I'm glad they didn't update that with the recent Die Hard movies, the way they've been and gone and been panned by critics. But I think about, games that have been inspired by movies. I thought about this earlier. I think it was Saints Row 3 with the Tron levels, where it was the sort of that hacker guy, and, it's just really, really good stuff. It's nice that people can, the movies have such an effect on the people who make our games that they want to add little sort of odes and Easter eggs into it, and make it fun, But yeah, I am a big fan of where games are going, but I just don't want them to go down, the wrong path, and we end up with, games that are basically not focused on what they should be focused on. I mean, I think, I'll go back to Kojima with his like half an hour long cutscenes. I mean, I was just thinking now with Assassin's Creed, everyone who's played Assassin's Creed, not what I'm going to say about the ending of the game. I mean, I know you have big giant long credit scenes, but that's time that could be used somewhere else, and it's I don't know. I'd say I'm probably worried about nothing, to be honest. I mean, games are going the right way with what they're going, the content we're getting and how we're playing them, and I was just thinking now about Rise, Son of Rome. I haven't played it. I mean, I've heard it's okay. I mean, to be honest, I've heard a lot of people panning it for not being what it should be. I think JJ's got it. JJ Stone, I think he's got it and doesn't like it. I'm not too sure. Maybe I think it was Judge. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, the whole intro from what I saw of that game, that was sort of like Saving Private Ryan with the storm in the beaches of Normandy. See, hey, that's an idea as well. Sorry, thinking out loud again. Yeah, the Medal of Honor games, how they've basically taken from movies. I mean, this is the place that we talk about, the PlayStation 2 Medal of Honor games. I think it was like Medal of Honor Frontline, or was it European Assault, where it's basically like storming the beaches of Normandy. That was such a great... We talk about intros. I'll have to put this in the Facebook group later. The Medal of Honor Frontline intro, where you're basically storming the beaches of Normandy. Really, really emotional, and, most of us had grandparents who fought in the war and stuff like this. But, it sort of felt... you sort of felt how it was to be at that time going through what they had. And, it was nice that it did sort of pull from how, I think came out the time roughly just after Saving Private Ryan. It was all that sort of, commingling of movie, game, real world experience. But yeah, I mean, the Medal of Honor games, used to be so good. I heard the last one was shit, but I did play the one before and I did actually like that. Was quite nice. It was quite good. Back in the day with before, was it Airborne? All those ones, pretty decent. I mean, I think it was Medal of Honor, was it Rising Sun? That was, the movie Pearl Harbor, which, fucking terrible movie. It does make me wonder about other stuff that, I think Jay's talking to me in the chat. He says, "Well, you were right with the Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes." I haven't played it, mate. I want to pick it up, but I'm sort of waiting for it to go cheaper. I mean, I know it's pretty fucking cheap at the moment, but there's other stuff that I want to play that I'll pick it. I mean, I do really want to pick it up, but even though I sort of know how it ends because I watched the Eligible Monster do their video on it. I might pick it up, but I'm waiting for Phantom Pain, see if that's going to be packed in with it or whatever. But yeah, I say that, you know, we talk about intros, and we said about earlier, you know, the first Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid that was Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation. That was, I'm just reading in the chat. Yeah, no, I mean, the Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation, the intro to that was pretty good. You know, you basically fight out of the submarine and you head towards Shadow Moses, and then you sort of pull yourself out of the water, and then there's a couple of guards, and then just the intro kicks it. You know, you take out the guards, get on the lift, and then basically it's sort of that intro is like you there. And, you know, so Metal Gear Solid, I think, was probably my favourite game of all time. Such a good game. But say it's all about the staging. It's how you go about. It's all about how the presentation is, and you know. But I say HW in chat says I never played any of the Metal Gear Solid games except the shitty ones for the NES. I actually tried to go back because I think one of the Metal Gear Solid games that we got recently that did come with some of the older Metal Gear games that were on the NES. And I tried to play them, but it's just so tricky and impossible. And it's like, yeah, I'll read the wiki on it, and probably easier to do it that way. But yeah, I mean, you know, Metal Gear Solid had some really good intros, and you know, half the stuff taken from movies. And I'm just trying to think about other stuff. What else I've got on my list here then? Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, really. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to think that developers are making games sort of like movies. I think, you know, as I say, I'll go back to Dead Space with it being sort of, you know, the first one being like Event Horizon, which is a really good movie. It still holds up. So if you know, get yourself a copy and watch it, really, really good. But yeah, I mean, it just seems so good. I'm sort of thinking now, because, I mean, I've heard that they want to redo Indiana Jones, Indiana Jones with Bradley Cooper, and I was like, yeah, it's not going to work. Just, you know, he'd be okay, but I don't know. Maybe they should. I know it pains me to say, maybe they should try and do an Uncharted movie. You know, I mean, I think Bradley Cooper would be pretty good as Nathan Drake, possibly. But I mean, it's the whole. I mean, just thinking about, you know, games like movies. There is the whole flip side to it, where it's not that the not flip side, but there is another side. It's like the actual sort of camaraderie. I think about there was a scene in Uncharted 3 where Nate and Sully they land in Dubai, and then Nate's wife is like, talk about, you know, gay marriage or something. And then, you know, Nate goes and grabs Sully's hand. And it's like, it's you know, most games are very square boxed in when it comes to dialogue, when it comes to how the characters interact with each other. I mean, I'm playing Final Fantasy X right now, and it is very, very awkward watching the characters interact with each other. I mean, I think I said last week about, I know the voice actor who does the voice for Tidus, and he's so much better with what he's doing now. I think he does like the Star Wars Clone Wars stuff, but it's like, it's so awkward and boxed in, and there's no freedom, there's no movement in the actual game, movement from the characters. I mean, I think, you know, from what I did play with Final Fantasy 13, there was a bit of movement between the characters, but it still felt a bit sticky. It was like, it wasn't, you know, as free-flowing as it should have been. But I mean, maybe that will come with, I think maybe it's because it's like an Eastern design game, whereas, you know, I think, you know, Uncharted, I think it's from California, I think it is. But you know, how I mean, probably because of the lip flaps with the translation as well, with the audio. But yeah, I do worry about that we're not going to get the whole. But I mean, I was just thinking, hasn't that always what it's been like with the dialogue with characters? I mean, it's like even Skyrim, you know, some of the characters there, it was like, there was no heart to the there was no heart and emotion to the lines that they were saying. You know, what, you know, the guy says, "I took an arrow to the knee." It's like, yep, that's my line done, and now move on to the next line. It's not a whole series of, you know, free flow movements like you would get between actors, in a movie. But maybe, I think it's because, I mean, you know, they sort of record them all separately. But maybe if they did, I think what Simpsons does, they sort of record them all together, like as a group. Maybe if they did stuff like that, it would be better. That's the thing. It's like, I think Hammy moaning about when Punchy or Joe are not in studio, it's hard to interact with them, you know, as a face-to-face visual level. Maybe that's what's missing, that face-to-face interactivity between, you know, your other cast members talk about your... Jade brings up a good point. Since maybe it's part of it's the amount of script they have to go through, less takes or less talented actors. That's it as well. I mean, some of the stuff I think about that might be true. Actually, I'm trying to remember back to. It'd be nice if Jack Talk Radio Metal was here. He plays a lot of Fallout. I mean, they get a bunch of big name actors. I mean, Matthew Perry in Fallout New Vegas. He was pretty good. You know, his line's great. Even, the guy who played... Oh, no, sorry, is it Michael Hogan? I think he was he was on Battlestar Galactica. It was Colonel Ty, yeah. Few lines he had seemed okay. I mean, it did seem a bit squarish, but it was... I don't know. He had literally about, I think, six lines. But yeah, maybe that's what it... What the hell's that? Sorry. So images popped up in the chat and I just... Wow. Oh, shit. Yeah. So if you're not in the chat, you're totally missing out. Jay just posted a Beyond Two Souls script. I remember, you know, the guy who voiced Tylus on Final Fantasy X, you know, he said it was like, how many pages of dialogue and... I can understand. I mean, just though that there is no real rush to get their voices recorded when you've got the gameplay being made. It's like, you know, Jay brings up another good point. Says, imagine Skyrim or Mass Effect. Well, thing is though, I mean, as I say, I'm thinking about picking up Final Fantasy 14, and that's a lot of that is audio dialogue. It's not like it was with 11. It's, you know. I mean, Final Fantasy X was the first Final Fantasy game that we got with actual audio in it. But yeah, Final Fantasy 14 has a bunch of audio as well, and dialogue, and I think it's just the stuff that keeps keeps the scene moving. But it would be nice if, you know, but say most of the stuff like games like Beyond Two Souls. The Last of Us, I think it was The Last of Us? Yeah, The Last of Us. Most of that stuff's done with motion capture these days. The actors are actually there. That's the thing. The Last of Us, that's probably why it worked so well, because, you know, they were all there together. I mean, why can't I remember his name? The guy who played Joel in The Last of Us, Troy Baker, thank you. Thank you, my brain. He was there for the, because that's the thing, but he does anime and voices and audio dialogue, like his whole career is based around it. I mean, because he was, you know, the Joker in Batman Arkham Origins, and, you know, he was really good in that. I think it's just maybe because they have they have a lot of time just sort of talking to themselves. I mean, you know, you look at someone like Scott McNeil. I mean, you know, I know Kev from Alcohol by Volume, which is coming up after this, he'll agree with me with the Beast Wars with Scott McNeil doing, you know, the, what's it, just I think he did, was it Dinobots, Waspinator, Silverbolt, like several of the voices, and he'd... I mean, I heard him on an interview once. He literally did sort of leave him in the sound booth and just he talked to himself for for a couple of minutes doing his line, just, you know, doing all the voices. But maybe that's what it is, going over the lines beforehand. But I can understand, say, from the picture that Jay's put in the chat, it's like it's a lot from what it looks like. I mean, it looks like War and Peace was a shorter book than what those are. But I don't know. Maybe it's the directors, the audio directors for this sort of stuff. I don't know. It's a whole bunch of things that could make the game better, but it's nice to talk about this sort of stuff because, I mean, I have like tons of random thoughts popping over my brain, trying to sort of work out stuff, how games could be better, how they could. I mean, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. With the way consoles are now, the way we're getting the dialogue, the action, how we're getting the experience, how it's coming across towards us with better and better consoles, better and better graphics, better and better audio. It's like, it's not exactly, I feel like it's all racing to get better and better, but we still need to sort of pick up the slower competitor, the audio, or if the graphics aren't good, then maybe put more effort into the story, or, you could swap any of the narratives around, and just to help each direction of the game get better and better. But it's one of those things. It just makes me wonder. I mean, this was like a whole random thought I had the other day. I mean, just I didn't really have a topic planned. I was just going to do news, but I mean, this sort of popped into my head. I'm like, well, I do worry about games becoming like movies and. If the way it all flows together is fine and we still get what we should all be getting, then maybe it's okay. But I don't know. It's too early to tell, but in the future's still coming, because we might still have this problem with whatever the hell the Xbox console is after the Xbox One, or whatever the PlayStation, what the PlayStation 5 is going to be if they do name it a PlayStation 5. That's an idea for another little question, whatever answery bit. What the next gen console is going to be called? We've learned so much. I mean, developers have learned so much from previous consoles and what can be done, and they're always pushing themselves harder and harder, and pushing tech and everything further as far as it can go. But I don't know. I just worry about certain things being left behind, and I don't want it to. I mean, stuff like this. Mm. But as I say, we're in such a good place for. Kenny's in the chat. So it's going to be called PC. Yeah, I mean, me and several of my mates, it was like, I hate all these PC Master Race bullshit that's going on. I like PC gaming. It's fun, I guess. I mean, I don't do any of it, but it looks fun. Stuff that's happening with Minecraft. That looks interesting. But it's like, it's still a device to play games. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it doesn't matter what you're playing something on, as long as you're playing something. I mean, Final Fantasy 14, is it better that people are playing on a PC, or better that people are playing on a PlayStation 3, or will soon be playing on a PlayStation 4? But no, it's not. It's that you're playing the game and interacting with other people, no matter what console device it's on. I was watching a video earlier. It's like, I think it was like the Oculus Rift and... I think it was something like that, but they were playing Pokemon, better Pokemon. Walking through the world, there's a guy on a treadmill walking with his headset on. And, it looked okay for what it was. I mean, it wasn't much, but it was okay. But I don't know. So it doesn't really matter, what we're playing the games on, as long as we're playing the games all together. And that might be the. This is for my whole future multiplayer topic. Future multiplayer topic. Now that I know we have what we're getting with the new current gen consoles, but I'm tired and I need a break, so I'm going to take a quick break. So I've got a whole bunch of new stuff that I want to get through, and I'll try and get through them as quick as possible, because there's so many news articles and so much stuff I actually want to talk about. But I will be back in about 10 minutes after these messages.
That combination of
and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it'd be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
More like radio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickett said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickett.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church, and that is a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
We're going with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the trunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what the...
What does the trunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay? Oh, let me, excuse me,
What the trunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the trunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/mlrtees. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/mlrtees.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Saturday's Noon East. Join Halls and Rorschach as they bring you the news you need to get you through your weekend.
Ollie, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Ollie, I'm outside right now. It's really blowing hard out here.
Sounds like it. Where are you at? Are you in Antarctica?
Wait a minute, Ollie. I see somebody coming toward me. There's a man coming toward me. Hold on a second. What are you doing in my yard? I'm getting too old for this shit. I just want to say that this snowstorm is a bunch of fucking bullshit. I'm going to let you go back in the house, Rorschach, because the sound effect is about to run out.
Hey guys, it's Halls from It's All About Me. Join Rorschach and myself every Saturday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here on More Like Radio.
Please, Chim Pokemon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chim Pokemon video game now. Did you bring your special Chim Pokemon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chim Pokemon game controller. Jesus Christ.
Chim Pokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chim Pokemon so I can destroy the evil power, huh?
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I'd better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor. Go! I must buy them all!
We must buy them all!
Try to bum the haba!
Dude, the video game gave Kenny a seizure! Dude, this game rules!
And welcome back to the second hour of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I love that episode of South Park, it was so damn funny. Yeah, a little bit of a sort of, looks like a war breaking out in the chat room right now, about sort of PC stuff. Hang on, let me start at the beginning, catch all you lot up. What the hell's going on here? HW in the chat says someday everyone will be PC... Someday everyone will be PC and the console wars will be over. But for now, Jay's right. Consoles can save you a ton of money if you want to play lag-free ports. And the whole fucking thing's going too fast. Yeah, basically, they're going nuts in the chat at the moment. The whole reason for... I mean, sure, yes, PCs are probably better if you have the money. You know, if you want, you know, the constant graphics, because I actually did, this is, I've got news article on sort of graphics and stuff like this in a second, but I actually did try and get into, listen to a couple of sort of computer techie, podcasts about bits and pieces, like try to educate myself on all the cards, because I know fuck all about this. I've gone through like about, I don't know, 6 laptops in about 10 years. I'm going through pretty quickly, to be honest. Too many bloody viruses, but no, I mean it was a bit too complicated for me, I sort of lost interest, to be honest. But I mean the prices they're charging for all these cards, and I mean, I, it's like, you know, it's nice if you want to do this sort of stuff, but whatever. But I'm sure I'm just going to buy a console and have the game work. I don't need to sort of check what specs it runs on and what cards needs to be and what's the minimum settings. And it's just, I don't know. They talk about Elder Scrolls Online now. Yeah, I'm thinking about picking that up as well. I don't know. As I say, I mean, I talked about last week with the RPGs, and I said about talked about, you know, Star Wars: The Old Republic, and it's like, well, we didn't really need it an online game. We just wanted another version, and you know, hopefully, the Elder Scrolls Online does well. Yeah, Kinesis isn't too happy. Says, fucking paying 50 quid and a tenner a month or whatever it is. Yeah, just, that's the standard MMO price. I mean, I think they want to charge, I think it's like 30 quid for, 30 or 40 quid for Final Fantasy 14. I think like the monthly subscription's about £8 or £9. You know, it's, you know, we pay for what we get. But, I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, we can only hope it goes free to play and then we just have to buy the game and then go through it that way, and you just buy expansions when they come out. But yeah, we talk about the graphics and stuff. I got this from Games Radar. It's about Titanfall. How inconvenient. Titanfall on Xbox 360 looks perfectly fine. Footage has emerged. This article came out yesterday, so it's pretty new. Footage has emerged of the Xbox 360 version of Titanfall, as reported by CVG News. And my professional opinion is that it looks, well, fine. Actually, in fact, it looks a lot like Titanfall. You know, the Xbox One has been pinning so many of its hopes on it. It's not clear whether this game is laggy or the video capture is imperfect, as it's this high quality capture. This is me speaking now. I haven't had a chance to watch this because I did some show prep just today because I'm trying. So there's not much going on, to be honest. But I mean, I have a whole bunch, but you know, I haven't had a chance to watch it. But I will watch this later on my as it's on YouTube. It's like 60 seconds, about a minute long. I'll watch it on YouTube on my Xbox in a bit. This is now, let's be perfectly clear, Xbox One's version of Titanfall is excellent. Sure, its frame rate is a bit flaky and it doesn't run at 1080p, but the game is fundamentally extremely fun and everyone likes it very much. The Games Radar UK team even plays it at lunchtimes, signs of a good game. When we play it, it's because we want to. It must be good. But that's why I suspect that it's going to turn out fine on Xbox 362. I mean, just most of the games. I mean, I have Thief on my PlayStation 3. The game looks amazing. It probably looks slightly better on the PlayStation 4. But it's like, you know, if you're playing the game and having fun with it. I mean, as I say, the way the graphics are these days and how we look at it, how we perceive stuff currently. And I mean, I've talked about this, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. I talked about, you know, we look back on stuff we played and, you know, what the graphics used to be like. I mean, I did it with when I was talking about Final Fantasy X earlier, looking back at how the graphics used to be and, you know, how they are now. I mean, I was doing one of the Cloister of Trials, and I literally wanted to look up a video so I could get the Destruction Sphere so I can unlock one of the Aeons near the end of the game. But it's, you know, it looks better. But I mean, just it's, you know, it's fine. There is no real difference. When you get absorbed into the game, your eyes will adjust to what you're playing. You will, you know, be okay with what you're seeing because you'll be too busy focused on killing the person in front of you. I mean, the whole big focus on most people seems to be having a giant size TV and being close enough so it looks, you know, you're close enough to the screen to see it and enjoy it. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, sorry, I'll go back to this article. Where was I? Bluepoint Games is 360 version reportedly has all the 6v6 multiplayers, Titan, burn cards, rockets, shields, and everything else. The big version has. Only real difference is that it runs at 30 frames per second and upwards, as opposed to Xbox One, which runs on 60 frames per second and downwards. So it's basically the same. You know, it runs on 30 frames per second and upwards, as the that's 360, and the Xbox One is 60 frames per second and downwards. So, you know, you're going to meet in the middle. That 30 frames per second could have an adverse impact on how well the game plays due to every press of a button taking twice as long as to be reflected on screen. Yeah, but it's 30 frames per second. It's a second. That's a very quick. And to be honest, you'll be so busy moving around, you won't notice it. Unless you, I mean, as I say, people go on about 1080p, but to be honest, if I remember this article I read, I mean, to be honest, only 1080p can be seen by fucking eagles. And I wear glasses because my eyes are shit. So it doesn't really fucking matter anyway. As long as you're having fun with the game, that's to say, you know, we talk about console stuff. It doesn't really matter what you're playing it on, as long as you're playing the game, you know. As long as you're having fun with it. I mean, just, and some games you can play on, you know, I'll go back to Final Fantasy 14 and 11, you could play them on different consoles at the same time. I think there is some other games coming up which you can do the same thing with. But it's, as long as you're playing it and having fun with your mates, that's all that matters. I think it's, I'm just reading what Kinesis in the chat says. More likely to get Armour 3 because it's only £11. Really? I'm not really too sure about Armour 3. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces. It looks really, really fun if it's the game I'm thinking about. But yeah, but no, I mean, you know, as long as you're having fun with the game, it doesn't really matter. This article's nearly done. So case in point, Call of Duty would be worse if it ran at 30 frames per second because it demands quick reflexes to react to an enemy threat in the blink of an eye. But with Titanfall, I doubt it. So that's what I've heard about Titanfall. It's very just strategic. It's not exactly what Call of Duty is at the moment. He says, I doubt it will affect the game as much. The Titans' movement are slow enough that it don't demand laser-fast reactions. Well, it's not. They can't move that fast because they're giant fucking mechs. Commanding use of cover, spatial awareness, and mastery of the dash controls. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I probably think will happen when I do start playing Titanfall, is that, you know, I'll call down my Titan, and I will jump inside, and then try and move, and end up smashing my face into a wall or something. But yeah, I mean, just, this article goes on forever. But yeah, I mean, basically get the point. But yeah, I mean, just, I am looking forward to playing it. I mean, I will be picking it up. I mean, I know Jack from Talk Radio Meltdown's got his copy. He's got his copy, and I know he'll be playing it. But it's, you know, I'll play it eventually. I'm just not in a big rush at the moment with, you know, the way things are. We're trying to, you know, pay for my trip to Manchester. And there's fucking pop-up ads. This article came out last week. This is also from Games Radar. Uncharted director joins on Visceral's Star Wars, making a promising Han Solo game. Remember the reveal of Star Wars 1313? It looks like an Uncharted game, but you know Star Wars. Millions of voices. Oh, fuck off with this bullshit! Fucking this is the sort of punny, wordy, you know, they try to do the whole millions of people cried out and terrible bullshit lines. Just fucking write your articles. Don't try and fucking douchebag. Oh, you know, I love Games Radar, great articles, but Jesus fucking Christ. There was more to shed when it was revealed to be an infamous bounty hunter, Boba Fett, but now Amy Hennig, the creative director and writer of the Uncharted series, is on board for Visceral's upcoming Star Wars projects. So we've got a cancelled Uncharted-like Star Wars game, an Uncharted developer working on a Star Wars game. Sounds like the perfect additions for 1313 to return and become more powerful than... Oh, fuck off with the bloody Star Wars bullshit. So this is why I stopped reading the fucking novels, because all the bullshit was going on with the fucking series and how much they were gutting the crap out of it. Fucking people piss me off. But yeah, I mean, you know, she's left, Amy's left the Uncharted, you know, studio to go and, you know, make a Star Wars game. I mean, I feel bad for this. I mean, it's like, just, I'd rather have her, you know, at the helm of the Uncharted series than making a Star Wars game. It's like, Yeah, I know Star Wars, they're making a new movie, but it's a bit past it, to be honest. I'm looking forward to seeing what the new movie's going to be. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't really like going to the cinema as much, but I will be going to the cinema to see the new Star Wars movie, same as fucking, you know, I don't know how many people live on this planet now, but they all began to see it as well. But it could be good. It could be shit, to be honest. I mean, just, I don't think anyone really liked... I mean, I liked the Star Wars Episode 1 game that we got on the PlayStation back in the day. I thought it was a lot of fun. But people didn't like it. But just, there hasn't been that many decent Star Wars games that people have liked. I mean, I think I put this in our Facebook group the other day. I was like... I want a sort of TIE fighter X-wing. I want a flying game. I want a space sim. I want a space flying game. You know, give me something like that. You know, sort of Rogue Squadron but first person. You know, give me something like that to play. Something, you know, that's fun. But you know, I mean, it's the thing. If we want a Star Wars game, you either, you know, you do your flight sims or you make us Jedis and. There's nothing else apart from that, you know, we actually care about doing, you know. I mean, I think, because I actually looked up what was going on with the Old Republic. I think that is starting to make some money, but, you know, from how much was put into the game, it's still not doing what it should be. But yeah, I say, you know, so she's going to work on this new Star Wars game, and I mean, you know, it is far too early. We might hear something about next year, maybe the year after. I mean, fuck knows. You know, it's basically just sit on your hands and wait and see until we till we get it. But fingers crossed, it's going to be good. But as it's not even in development yet, and you know, as she's the writer, so they have to come up with something good. We'll wait and see. To be honest, hopefully. Hopefully it is something good and something we'll enjoy and not just something that will basically be panned and shitty and then Amy will fucking run back to Uncharted people with a towel between her legs. But, you know, wait and see. I got this off CVG. Atari ET landfill excavation back on track. Dig approved following environmental concerns. The proposed plan to dig up the New Mexico ET landfill site has finally been given the go-ahead by the environmental agency investigating the potential safety issues. Production company Fuel Entertainment, Xbox Entertainment Studios and Lightbox Entertainment had... how many entertainment studios do you fucking need? Had previously requested permission to dig up the landfill in order to make a a documentary based on the much maligned 1982 Atari 2600 title E.T., which was widely believed to be one of the causes of the 1983 games industry crash. But yeah, this game looks fucking terrible. In March, it was reported that the proposed excavation site of the city disposal landfill had yet to be approved due to the lack of detailed information about the plan. Specifically, the New Mexico Environment Department voiced concern over a 2004 study of the landfill, which found elevated levels of several chemicals and claimed 22 compounds of concern had been found at the site. Now, however, the NMED has approved the dig as long as three production companies adhere to a number of safety conditions. Firstly, the NMED must be notified 5 working days before the evacuation begins. Secondly, any company planning to haul the waste must register as a certificate and a commercial hauler of the waste with the NMED. But yeah, according to the urban legends, there are basically it's all running on the big urban legend, the fact that the game was so shit, they basically just buried every single copy into the deserts because it was sort of unplayable and broken. Yeah, but it's like, if it is, okay, but knowing it's there doesn't really mean much. I mean, who gives a shit? I mean, the game was crap. It's one of the most, you know, it's everyone says it's the worst game that's ever been made because it was broken and shit. And why would you want to make a game based on E.T.? you know, I say E.T., the very one of the first games based on a movie. There we go. Gonna tie it back to this week's sort of question stuff. But yeah, I'm just fucking E.T., what a waste of damn time. I mean, you know, because this is what Microsoft wants to do with this whole TV bullshit. They want, you know, some sort of documentary about, you know, about fucking a landfill site filled with copies of E.T. for the Atari 2600. It's just, what's the damn point? So this, I'm, yeah, this is, sorry, I'm just sort of looking at bits and pieces. Yeah, Destiny, new screenshots. I can't wait for this game. This is my most anticipated game of this year. Destiny looks so good. I'll chuck this in the chat so all you animals in there can have a look. But yeah, I say Destiny looks so good. Bungie has revealed a fresh batch of Destiny Media, which you can see below. Basically, if you're not listening to the downloads, you're missing out. Compromising of new screens and artwork from the upcoming sci-fi shooter, it was released as part of Bungie's latest community mail sack feature. Publisher Activision recently confirmed that a Destiny beta will kick off this summer, which will enable... this summer when it will be made available to PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 players first, which is good because in about 6 weeks I will have my PlayStation 4. The company has also announced a Destiny release date of September 9th on PlayStation platforms, Xbox One and Xbox 360. But yeah, I'm going to have a look at these screenshots because I haven't had a look at them yet, so I wanted to save myself. But yeah, basically, first person screenshot here, just, you know, the bloke holding a gun, shooting something. I'm not the best at describing this stuff. I'm just sort of having a little look. Stuff on the environment, the lighting. I mean, so, I know I said earlier about it's not really matter what you play on, but I'm definitely picking Destiny up on my PlayStation 4, you know. It does look better on the that's the sort of thing you want the experience to be, you know, on the newer consoles with all the the shiny bells and whistles. But when it comes to stuff like Destiny, which is basic, to be honest, in my opinion, compared to something like Thief, Destiny is a console. It's a game for the next gen, you know, the newest current gen consoles, not something for the last gen like Thief was, or. God, what else have I been playing recently? I can't remember if I can remember. But yeah, you're going to want to play this, considering what they want to do with this game as well, like have it sort of transition over, like save files and to the newer games, to newer zones and stuff. Now this picture of one of the guys just rolling through, fighting enemies. There's only a couple, that's like five screenshots. And another screenshot of the moon base that they want to use. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff here. But yeah, I mean, this game looks really, really good, and I can't wait to play it when it comes out. I talked about this earlier. Batman Arkham Origins. We have DLC screenshots of the new XE suits. Cold Heart expansion out on April 22nd. Warner Brothers Interactive has released a screenshot of Batman's new XE suits that's coming to Batman Arkham Origins as part of the Cold Heart DLC expansion. Due out on April 22nd, the DLC expansion will bring a new open world quest to the game, which will focus on Mr. Freeze, as previously teased in the old teaser that we saw. Among Batman's new gear is the DLC's DXE suit, designed for extreme conditions in response to the super cold weapons of Mr. Freeze and his goons. WB Games VP of Production, Ames Kirchen, said of the upcoming DLC, "It's a mini chapter in the game. If you guys played and saw Initiation, it was more of a challenge map than a little narrative wrapped around it. It's actually in-game story mission content with a brand new story wrapped around Mr. Freeze in the Arkham Origin setting." Yeah, it's basically an introduction to Mr. Freeze, and, you know, he is one of the best characters in, you know, one of the best Batman villains out there, one of my favorites at least. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting this. You know, I'm hoping this is going to be the last one, so that I can sort of sell my copy of Batman. hopefully make some money out of it. We've got about half an hour left. Was that Nintendo stuff? Do some Nintendo stuff, because literally there's very rarely anything Nintendo wise that's popping out. So this is a personal side note. I was like, all these, you know, the websites where I got all this information from, they're literally spamming like mother crazy with the fucking ads on their sites. It's like, you know, whole big wallpapers full of ads, and it's like, you know, you have to make sure you be very careful when it comes to touching stuff, like, you know, where you go to click on articles, just in case you touch an ad and it comes up with a whole pages of shit that you don't want to get to. And jeez, talk about fucking selling out. So this is from CVG, European eShop updates, Lego Hobbit, Arkham Origins Blackgates, Kirby and WarioWare also arrive on the GBA Virtual Console. Nintendo has announced this week's European eShop update. The main release this week is Lego The Hobbit for both Wii U and 3DS, which I will have to have a look at. Is also set for the release is the Wii U version of Batman Arkham Origins, Blackgates, the 2.5 action game based on Arkham Origins. Retro fans were pleased by the addition of Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, WarioWare in the Wii U's GBA Virtual Console. But the other stuff for 3DS, we're getting Lego The Hobbit for about, way overpriced. I can probably do it cheaper, about £35, about €40. Mystery Case Files return to Ravenhearst, which is probably a point-and-click sort of game. Mystery Case Files, Diagrove, and Governor of Poker. So a poker game, lovely. And Wii U, you're getting, you know, basically all the stuff I've just mentioned. But yeah, it's like, you know, that's what pisses me off about, they put so much good stuff out on the Wii U, like for downloadable stuff, but I mean, they totally ignore the 3DS when it comes to things. I mean, we have some decent stuff. I mean, Defenders of Oasis is on there, and I think, was it Crystal Quest? I think that was the one, or Dragon Crystal, it's the one with it, like, you were this knight and you had this egg follow you around, and at the end it would turn into a dragon. But, you know, I'm just sort of looking at bits and pieces and stuff. Here we go. I know I you know, Kenny's going to be pissed off with me, but, HW's in the chat saying Destiny looks amazing. He says he can't wait. I'm looking forward to this game. I just want to play it. I just want to play it now. I mean, I'm hoping it's basically to be what we should have got from Rage when that came out. I mean, because Rage was a really good game, but it was just too damn short. I mean, there was, like, I think, like 5 or 6 different locations, and you had to go to them twice. Destiny, I mean, I'm looking forward to sitting playing on PlayStation 4 with a bunch of other people with PlayStation 4s, and just, you know, going through and doing, you know, what we do in Borderlands, but in a non-cartoon style... first-person sort of MMO-esque shooter, basically, with loot drops and every damn thing. If you hold on 1 sec, I need to grab my drink. I'm back. Yeah, but no. Destiny is looking amazing, and I can't wait to play it. I mean, the whole big... I'm not really that interested about the PvP stuff, because it's sort of multiplayer... ish, but I'm looking forward to the big sort of boss battles where, you know, I mean, in the that 10-minute demo we got, it was like a big giant tank, and it was like everyone was sort of blowing the shit out of it with their guns and then fighting it, and, you know, I'm looking forward to that sort of stuff. But I mean, you know, there's so many good things coming out when it comes to this sort of stuff. Here's something from CVG, you know, Pokemon related, as you know, as it goes, literally, because, you know, unless trying to find Nintendo news that's not Pokemon or Mario related is a bit of a trick. Pokemon X and Y are the fastest selling 3DS games. Titles approaching 12 million sales having launched in October 2013. Pokemon X and Y recently became the fastest selling 3DS games of all time, according to the Pokemon Company. Having launched worldwide in 2013, Pokemon X and Y sales stand at almost 12 million units. And I have two of those units, helping lifetime Pokemon video game sales surpass 245 million units sold, the firm claimed on Monday. Yeah, this came from yesterday. Nintendo said in January that Pokemon X and Y was by far its best-selling third-party game in the 9 months ending New Year's. In a list of global software sales for the first three quarters of the firm's fiscal year, the company announced that Pokemon X and Y's sales of 11 million units sold. Second and third on list were two more 3DS games, Animal Crossing New Leaf, which I had, which was really good, but I've sold it because I don't really want to play it all year round, and Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon with 3.52 million sales and 2.57 million sales respectively. CVG's Pokemon X and Y review called the release a major leap forward for the franchise. Hang on, let's see if this goes down in. Nope, that's it, pretty much. Yeah, basically. It seems like a bad thing, to be honest. Considering the fact that, the 3DS has been out for several years, and it's the fastest game sold, and it's sold nearly 12 million units. It just shows that, Nintendo has nothing apart from the stuff that works. I mean, there's nothing decent with the IPs, and, it sells. Nintendo stuff sells if it's got something to do with Mario or it has something to do with Pokemon. I mean, I'm trying to have a look at. Well, do I have any? Yeah, I've got. I think I've got. I've got basically your basic Nintendo titles up on my shelf. I've got I've got my Pokemon. I've got Donkey Kong. I think I've got a Mario game up there somewhere. But yeah, I mean, there's not much that that people buy for the Nintendo consoles unless it's Mario or Pokemon. But that's one of those weird things. It's like trying to think now. It's like, do we buy? God, I'm just trying to think. We buy stuff. I mean, what would happen to Nintendo if they didn't have the main franchise stuff? They didn't have like Metroid and Zelda and all this sort of stuff. I mean, they would totally go under, like drop like a fucking stone. But I mean, I think about other stuff as well. We talked about with Jay. We talked about the wrestling games. They're a yearly thing, and. The Mario games and what we're getting on Nintendo aren't exactly a yearly thing, but it's like, how many Mario games do you need where you're basically jumping on Goombas or, putting on your fire suit, turning into Super Mario? How many games do you need where you're doing the same shit over and over again with the same character over and over again? I mean, yes, I know with Pokemon. Maybe it's because we're not glutton for punishment as such. We are happily setting our ways when it comes to stuff like this. I mean, I will buy every new Pokemon game that's going to come out, whether it's a proper. I mean, just where I am now with my I have my Pokedex on my Pokemon Y version is complete. I have pretty much every Pokemon that I need and breeding anything that I want to breed and It's like, I'm not going to buy a remake. I just want to buy the next one on. Because, I mean, there's been other stuff on various Pokemon shows that I've been listening to, and they talk about a Gen 3 remake, which is never going to happen. It might, but to be honest, I don't see the point of it. I don't know. That is the thing with Nintendo. It's literally, if it's Nintendo, Mario property, whatever, it will sell, but. I don't know. I want to try and find one more article because I found something I do want to sort of go over. I saw something as such, but I'm just trying to find something before I get to that, to be honest. Here we go, yes. Let's go do this and I'll go over this other thing I found. Yeah, Xbox, Microsoft, CVG. Xbox One external game storage coming soon. This article came out over the weekend. No news on introducing the localized Kinect voice commands in new territories, though. Xbox One support for the external game storage will be introduced in the near future. Answering questions on Reddit, Xbox Live Director of Programming Larry Major Douchebag Nelson Herb said, "External game storage is coming soon. I need to check on the media support." says, asked whether there'll be a limit to the external storage, like the Xbox 360's 32 gigabytes. He replied, when I have the details on that, I'll let you know. But Herb also said that he couldn't provide an update on when Microsoft will be initializing localized Kinect voice command system support in additional countries like Ireland. Former Chief Product Officer Mark Whitten said in early March that introducing support for the external hard drives is one of the company's main priorities for the future Xbox One system updates. We value all the feedback we're getting from you, he said. We know external hard drive storage is another big one on your list. It's on our list too. We're working on that for a future update, and we will keep you posted. April's Xbox One update will include new game saves, features, friend notifications, plus improved Kinect and game DR functionality. So basically, to be honest though, yeah, thanks, mate. Kinesian Chat says, I think this is the longest time I've listened to you. I should pat myself on the back. Yeah, with a knife in your hand. No, I'm kidding. But no, I mean, I don't. Everyone, they all go on about, you need more storage. You need more storage. Well, it's like, you're not playing the same games forever. You don't need. I mean, I go through my the memory on my Xbox and my PlayStation, and I delete all the old shit. I mean, there is plenty of memory on my PlayStation because literally there's nothing saved on there apart from Final Fantasy X and Thief. That's about it. But I mean, my Xbox 360, I mean, I've got the 250 gigabyte, the black model, the recent, the slim. But it's like, you know, if I want more space, then I just delete the old stuff. I mean, because I have been through several Xbox consoles because I do have a tendency to get angry and throw consoles against walls and punch stuff and break stuff and, you know, sort of Hulk out and destroy stuff. Kinesis says, if I want to stab myself in the back, I'll buy Call of Duty. Yeah, very, very good point. Well done. But no, I mean, considering how long the console life cycle's been, you're not going to be playing Perfect Dark Zero. No one should be playing Perfect Dark Zero, but you're not going to be playing Perfect Dark Zero for about 5 years. You're going to play it once if you did bother when it first came out, and then you're going to delete the game save. That's how you do it. You just free up the saves. You're not going to need, once you've played the game and beaten it several times, you're not going to want to go back to it. Unless it's something like a multiplayer game, you know, like a Call of Duty or a Titanfall, you know, or, you know, the sports stuff like your Maddens or your FIFAs, you know, unless it's that, then you're going to keep keep all the memory stuff. But, you know, you just move on and delete the old stuff. Kinesian Chat says, I haven't played Perfect Dark since N64. Well, they brought it out as a sort of remade version, as an sort of updated graphics version for the Xbox Live Arcade, but you know, it was okay. I mean, I never played it on the N64 either. I mean, I wanted to, but I was too busy playing GoldenEye. But yeah, I'll go to this final thing which I saw as Captain America has just come out in the cinemas at the moment. I saw this and I thought this looked interesting. Here we go. Yeah. Captain America, the first Avenger, who never starred in a good game. Stars and Stripes Forever, Batman and Captain America have a lot in common. Neither have flashy powers like flight or super strength. They get on tactically, deductive planning, and are some of the best pure fighters within their respective universes. Yes, Cap has a lot of help of the Super Soldier Serum, but both are more grounded heroes that have they're a great fit for games. That's why it's disheartening for fans of Cap to see his game legacy falter compared to Batman's. Sure, Cap has never been in good and even great games, but he's still waiting for a respectable one of his own. That said, Caps game history still spans decades, even if the actual number of games pales to the others, to the other heroes. Though in the last few years, he's appeared more thanks to boatloads of money that the Avengers earned in a line of new the new sequel film that's finally releasing, hitting theatres. Let's see how far this Super Soldier... Yeah, basically, just going through a whole list of games. I mean, because I saw this and it was interesting to me because I've actually played, I think, one or two of these. And they're listing stuff like... what the hell was it? Captain America in the Doom Tube of Dr. Megaloman from 1987, which, yeah, I was... Hang on, 4, 5, 6... At 3? Yeah, I was 3 years old, so... way before my gaming time. Spider-Man and Captain America in Doctor Doom's Revenge in 89. I think this came out on the Nintendo, I think. But then it was, I think it was this one. Yeah, Captain America and the Avengers. I think I had, yes, I had this on, yeah, I had this. This is the one I did play. This was actually a really good game. I'll post this this thing in the chat for everyone else to look at as well. But yeah, I mean, this is one of the ones I fell in love with. This game was amazing. Since now we're getting somewhere, perhaps the most well-known Captain America game of all time. This is one of the Dime a Dozen beat-em-ups from the early 90s, like The Simpsons and the Ninja Turtles. This had four players. It was Captain America, Iron Man, Hawkeye, and Vision. Walking down the street, manhandling the thugs, then battling Red Skull, Mandarin, Whirlwind, and the Living Laser. This is notably the first time you really get a good sense of his shield power. He heals that sucker across the screen with approximately superhuman stance, dealing damage, knocking enemies on their ass. But yeah, I mean, it was a really, really good game. We got the X-Men port, and I never actually completed this because I was always used to play as Iron Man, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, this was a really, really good game back in the day. And yeah, I got near the end, but I never actually completed it. But it was a really, really good game. Then you have Spider-Man, Maximum Carnage from 94. Supposedly that was pretty good. I mean, it's one of the better Spider-Man games I think people talk about. The Avengers in Galactic Storm from 95. I'm not even sure what this game is. I don't even remember this one. This is a 2D scrapper based on equally forgettable 19-part story that spanned the Avengers comics early in the decade. Galactic Storm has only four playable fighters, but as the constant leader of the Avengers, of course, Cap was included. So basically it looked pretty shitty, to be honest. But then we have, you know, Marvel Superheroes, Marvel vs. Capcom from 95 and 98. Yeah, it's the Marvel vs. Capcom stuff, what we know, the beat-em-ups, that sort of stuff. And it goes to Marvel Superheroes War of Gems, which when is this from? Super Nintendo. I think that came on the Super Nintendo. Jeez, 96. Jesus, there was just some really shitty games. Spider-Man from 2000. I think that was to do with the Spider-Man movie. What else we got? Marvel Nemesis Rise of the Imperfect from 2005. Wow, that game's only 10 years old. See, that was one I was going to pick up as well back in the day, but never got round to it. Marvel Ultimate Alliance from 2006. That's nearly 10 years old as well. Wow. Yep. Marvel Ultimate Alliance was a really, really good game. I mean, I was talking to my mate about this at work because we're sort of big sort of superhero game fans. And he was asking me about, have there been any decent superhero computer game movies? Computer games. And I said, Marvel Ultimate Alliance. And I was talking about, the Batman Arkham series. But yeah, I mean, this was pretty good. Marvel Superhero Squad. It's one of the sort of kiddie style things that was from a couple of years back. Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which... I tried to get into that. I really did. I preferred the previous Marvel vs. Capcom games, to be honest. Marvel Pinball, which is really good. I mean, I've seen so many tables for that come out, and I do actually want to pick up the whole table, pick up all the tables for if they sort of port it across to the PlayStation 4. Because I mean, there's been the new Star Wars tables that are popping up all over the place, which look really, really good. Also, Captain America, Super Soldier. This is the movie tie-in game from 2011 for the first Captain America movie. What else? Have we had more than that? Marvel Avengers, Battle for Earth. I don't even... It's weird. Even some of these that came out a few years ago, I've never even heard of. Marvel Heroes. Yeah, I think that's what... I think Wingate plays that. Lego Marvel Super Heroes, which is really, really good. I played the demo of it, and this was they were playing this at Eurogamer last year. I should actually pick this up, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, really, really good game. What else was there? Is that Deadpool? No. But yeah, I mean, just there's not many decent. I mean, just unless it's a movie tie-in game, and we got a Thor game which was terrible, and you know the Captain America game I heard had promise, I think, but it's hard to make decent superhero games with characters unless you do. Well, I mean, should I say they don't really come out unless it's there's a movie coming out. I mean, the whole big game when Daredevil was supposed to come out. There was supposed to be a movie. Sorry, there was supposed to be a game about that, and that was we got like one screenshot, and the whole thing was cancelled. But you know, I mean, it's very hard to do these sort of superhero games unless you do it the right way, like Marvel Ultimate Alliance did. Whereas you had, you know, 20 or 30 different characters from the Marvel Universe. You know, you had, I think, there's, you know, they had all the X-Men, they had the new Avengers, the original Avengers, Fantastic Four was in it, I think Ghost Rider was in it, Blade was in it, yeah, it's a whole bunch of different characters, and you just sort of threw them in. It was like a big, great big beat-em-up style, you know, sort of classic how games used to be, you know, as I said, with the Captain America and the Avengers game, the one I played. But, you know, it's tricky trying to get, I mean, just, I'd love to, I mean, that's one of the whole benefits is of having games is that you can play, you can be the hero that you want to play as. Like, you know, you can be that hero. But if the game's not as good as it should be, then it's crap, basically. Yeah, see you later, Canoes. Thanks, mate, for turning up. But yeah, I say it's... You know, I'm just trying to think now. What you know, as I said earlier, you know, the future of gaming with the newer consoles, are we going to get a Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 where you can play as, you know, these characters? And I don't know. Fuck it. I don't know. You know, it sort of does depress me. I was just sort of thinking about the whole ET thing as well now, that whole fucking depressing shit as well. I say it's been a bit depressing week for news. It's sort of a lot of bad stuff, good stuff. Hope, I mean, you know, the Amy Hennig thing, that, you know, her going to make a Star Wars game. Will it be good? Will it be crap? Bit of both, probably. And, you know, E.T. landfill getting dug up. No one fucking cares about a game that's 32 years old. Yeah, no one fucking gives a shit. It's just so depressing. It's, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel with these people writing their articles and me trying to find this stuff. But this pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm not too sure what topic is next week. No doubt I'll probably think of something, and, you know, I will let you know as soon as I know. But so, yeah, if you do want to contact the show, you want to call in one time, anytime, just add Antisocial Gamer Radio to your the old Skype contacts. You can email me. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. Always like reading your emails. Also, you can join a Facebook group. There's loads of people in there at the moment, to be honest. But, you know, if you want to join in, I know how many people you're listening, get yourself in there. Facebook.com/group/MNRGamerLobby. Also, like our Facebook page. I do appreciate that. You know, it shows me that you give a shit. You know, once you've liked it, give it a share as well. Facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter. It's at MNRGamerRadio. So I follow you back because I like interacting with the listeners and, you know, finding what you're playing and you telling me and me picking it up and having a go, and if it's good, then I'll play it. And, you know, I mean, I picked up the Pokemon Battle Link because I heard Will and from It's Super Effective. He was talking about it. And SBJ as well was talking about it, and you know, I picked it up because of them. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of good games coming out soon and stuff that I want to play, and you know, Watch Dogs is nearly here. It's on the horizon, and so is me getting my PlayStation 4, and you know, we need to sign up for PlayStation Plus account as well and reap the benefits of that, and you know, so many good stuff happening in gaming at the moment. But you know, I say that's pretty much it for me. But so coming up next, right after I finish, is Alcohol by Volume, followed by Unsigned Hype, which is then followed by Dutch and Royce. And hopefully this week Dutch has managed to find some articles that weren't published 10 years ago. HW in chat says, still haven't tried... haven't tried South Park Stick of Truth, but I hear it's good. Yeah, I've heard good things about it too. I do want to try it. See, the stuff I want to play is just, you know, I've got money that needs to go to my PlayStation 4, and I can't, you know, spare any at the moment unless it's for travel purposes to Manchester. But I do plan on picking it up because I'm a big South Park fan. It's like one of my favourite TV shows, and, you know, it's still funny every episode. But yeah, so this is pretty much it from me for this week. Thank you everyone for listening and for, you know, for downloading and, you know, for interacting in the chat rooms. Tons of people in there tonight. I say, you know, we go live at, 9 PM UK time, 4 PM Eastern. So, you know, you finish your school, you finish your work, get yourself home, turn on your computer, get in the chat room, join us like everyone else did. And, I will see you lot again, next week. So, take care, people. Bye bye.
Ashley brought anything to the table?
My God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate or good.